Before we get started, my name is Brian, and I wanted to get to know you guys a little bit, to know your names. So who here thinks they're a common Jane or a common Jack or an average guy or an average Jane or an average Jack? Raise up your hands. We got one. We got two. Okay, a few. All right. I used to think like that too, but the Bible tells us the total opposite. So I'm hoping today, by showing you about what we do, that you can realize that you're just not a common person. You're a saint of God. You're the seed of the Word of God and all of that. So we're going to talk about seeds today. But before that, we're going to do a little spitfire of what our ministry does so you can learn a little bit about us. So our ministry is called Shared Hope for Orphans Worldwide. We started it about 10 years ago. We're going on 11 years now. And it all started because I was 7 years old, and I lived in Vermont, where it was even colder than here, if you can believe that. And I was sitting in front of a television, and on the screen popped up a picture of two kids, and I can still see it in my head today. And it just said, "Feed my children." And I grew up in a non-Christian home, and I didn't have any encouragement. So I thought I was the only one that knew about that. And then I was married, got married to my wife, raised three children, and then went to her and said, "We're supposed to go to Africa." And she's like, "What? What are you talking about?" We had done foster care. We had done a bunch of things. She's like, "I'm not going to live in the bush, so we're not going to go to Africa." But God was still moving on us, and we were trying to adopt through foster care, but every time we'd get to the stage, he'd like put a stop sign in front of us, and we couldn't continue. So I looked up online and found out that we could adopt from the Congo. So I'm like, okay, it's one trip. I just got to convince her one time to go for 2 weeks, and then we can do this, and we're done. Then we have the boys that we're meant to have, or the kids we're meant to have. But as we started that process, again, God stopped that, but immediately they said, "Well, there's going to be an opening in Uganda, so why don't you consider going to Uganda?" So that's what we did. We started that process to adopt from Uganda, still thinking and believing that we were just going to go to Uganda, adopt two boys, and come home. But as you'll see, the story changed from there, because God always has a bigger plan than I do. So a little bit about our ministry here in Uganda. Obviously, we're all the way over in Eastern Africa. So we're down here, this little red dot, and that's us all the way up there in the top. If we flip to the next slide, a little bit about Uganda. They are landlocked, so there's no getting in and out. It's not so easy to get the crops to grow and things like that to export in and out. These are some of the stats that they have. The thing that just blows my mind is 60% of Ugandans are trying to live on less than $2 a day. But yet, a mattress in Uganda, that little foam mattress you were just talking about, is $25. So how do you get a $25 mattress for each one of your kids when you can't even buy food for $2 a day to feed them? So some of our ministry, if you go to the next slide, this is our team that's in Uganda. So we're firm believers that we need to have the locals do the work and become self-sustaining. So I live in Grove City, and I travel back and forth to Africa and do this ministry. I work a full-time job on top of this. This is all volunteer run. So anything that's donated to our ministry goes out and helps the kids, helps the community, helps build the buildings that we need to so we can facilitate what we're doing. So these are our team members. We actually have one more. So we have the young boy that's sitting by himself actually passed through our process. He's now our team leader. So he was sponsored with our program. Now he leads this team. So he has a hands-on experience of what it was before we were there, then what sponsorship really is, and then what changed in his life. So he is very good at developing the rest of the team and teaching them, hey, this is why we do what we do. We call our kids in there the kings and queens, because without those kids being sponsored, these guys don't have jobs, the community doesn't develop, and all of those processes. So we're going to do a little speed clipping, and then we will talk about seeds like God wants me to talk about. So if we flip to the next slide, this is an average house that you'd see in Uganda. Falling down, metal sheets have holes in them. And this is a family there on the side. They are being raised by their grandmother. And as we know, they're all little boys there, and they're a little bit active. So I'm sure grandma would wish to have that escape a little bit so they don't have so much energy. But they actually care for her as much as she cares for them. So she's there on the ground. She can barely walk. They help her in and out. They go to the garden. They get the food and stuff and take care of her in that way. But what we do is we'll reach out to the community. And we'll see a hurting family like this, and we'll do a transformation inside of their lives. We'll go out and see what's going to change it so that they can be better, and how can they fix the life that they're living without us becoming a welfare system. So we give them some hope. The whole key is to give them that hope. So if we flip to the next slide, this is where they're sleeping. All those kids are sleeping on those little rags that are in there in the corner. The guy that's standing there is our team leader, and you can see above him, that's the roof of the building where they're sleeping. And that sunlight that's shining on those sheets, that is that hole in the roof. So when it rains, it all is coming on top of them. So one may say that this is the most important thing, and we're going to fix that roof, and we're going to do all that thing. But the thing is, they were starving. So do you work on fixing the roof? Do we work on feeding those children? Do we teach them why we do what we do? What is the scenario that we want to do? So if we flip to the next slide, that's our team leader sitting there counseling those boys of what's about to happen, because we walked into this house not knowing anything. It was just pointed out to us from someone else. So as we're talking to them, we're gathering information. They still didn't know we were going to transform them. But if you flip to the next slide, this is the transformation that we did. We went and bought them clothing. We went and gave them things that they needed just so they could go to school, just so they could have food in the end. So we brought food to them. We brought clothing to them. We taught them who Jesus was. And that's the key of our ministry, is we always want to bring Jesus in front. So people will say to us, well, how do you manage to do what you're doing? And we always say, it's Jesus. It's always Jesus. If we're not pointing people to Jesus, then what are we doing? So that's why we are always focused on that avenue of where to go. So if we flip again to the next slide, that's their transformation and their shirts on them. If you flip again, you can see where they went from those sad faces to happy smiles just because they got a t-shirt, a couple pairs of shorts, and another shirt to go with it, and then some food. And I think about when I was growing up, I didn't have the best, but I never took and thought, oh, this shirt just makes me that happy. Had to be something extra. Had to be, hey, we went out to eat at a restaurant. Had to be that. Something that would just motivate me. But yet these kids, just for the other clothing we bought, were used clothing. The blue shirts were made specifically for them because we wanted them to see Jesus. And we were telling them about Jesus on the back of that shirt. So those boys today, all of them got sponsors. Not by us coming out and saying that. We shared this story of what we did, and God moved on one person in our community and sponsored all of those boys that are in that group. So every one of them now goes to school, has food on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, and they wear those shirts all the time. So when I travel over there, I still see these shirts on them. They take care of them like they're gold. But yet we just throw that shirt away. It was meant for one season, and that's it. But these boys were still saving this, and this has been 2 years since we did this process, and they still are wearing that shirt as if it's gold because they remember where they were. So the other thing that we do, if we flip the slide, we have a community library because kids that can't go to school, we wanted them to get at least an opportunity to learn how to read. So one of our team members is our education director. She'll be around the library. She teaches them to lead, teaches them to read. She teaches them about puzzles, all the different things that we have inside there. They'll play games. They'll just have fun with each other so that they can realize the love of Jesus. Another thing that we do, if we flip, is we take and we bring people in from the community and teach them how to make soap, and that's what you're seeing there in the bottom. They made soap and shampoo that day. Another thing, if we flip, this lady here is celebrating because she got a goat, because we have a goat project, and that goat project is we'll donate one goat, and then as soon as that goat is given birth to another baby, that community member has to give away the first birth. And then after that, that family of goats is theirs, and they can raise it, and they can give away, they can sell them however they want. But we started with 7 goats. We're up to 21 goats in less than 2 years. Now, that's what God does, multiplications. So we flip again to the next slide. These were 12 different businesses that we started. We gave each one of those 12 businesses $25. And they told us it's impossible to start a business with $25. Today, over half of those businesses are still running, they're successful, and they've raised a whole lot more than that $25. But it took counseling, it took training, it took us educating them on how to plan, because planning is not always a thing in Uganda. That is the one thing that they are very poor at it, and our team is made to plan for everything. So even when we started giving money, they had to have a plan, they had to have a budget, and without that budget, they couldn't get the funding from our side. Still happens the same way today. If they don't have a budget, they don't get anything from this side, because it's all about the accountability from one side to the other and back to that side. Then I'm also checking on, did they actually use it for the same way that they told me they were going to use it for? And that's the process that we have throughout it. So we flip again. This one in the next slide are our dancers. So if you can flip to the next slide, this is our dance group. They came to me about 2 years ago and said, Brian, we need to start a dance group. And I'm like, money for a dance group. What is a dance group going to do? So they tried to explain to me the vision of what's going on. So they're like, you see, these kids, they come from a city that's considered the forgotten village. And we don't have money to sponsor them, but they're just walking the street because they don't have any education and they're not getting anywhere. And they're going to start causing problems because they're turning into teenagers. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you a 3-month period I'm going to give from my own pocket. If nothing changes in that 3-month period, then that process is over. So the dance leader, he volunteered his time for the first month, not knowing if he was going to get any salary, anything, and started teaching. Well, within that month, these boys here and girls that are in this group, they just started being motivated by life. And all of a sudden, a joy came into them. And then we went and visited them 2 years ago, and we went to their compound, their neighborhood. And the mothers were in tears. They came to me and said, how is it that you love our kids, yet you've never met our kids? And again, I said, that's Jesus. Because without Jesus, I don't have that love to even give. And without your community telling me that this was a need, I didn't know. And for me, to start a dance group was not something that was even close to my mind. But today, that dance group has now started a gospel track also on top of it. So they have a main dance group that's African music. They have, I think, 4 videos right now that have over 1 million views on TikTok. They're very active. They train day and night. So if they're not in school, they're at our compound training. Those kids work so hard. They will go stay on the compound when I'm there. And we have 40 of them, about between 38 and 40, depending on the day with it, they're there. They will go gather all the water that the compound needs and bring it bucket by bucket just so that they can stay overnight there. Because they know they're safe there. Because they know they're loved there. And those kids will hang on you just to get love. So if you've been to Africa, you know there's a disconnect between parents and kids when it comes to love. And I think it's because for many years, so many died, they didn't know what to do. So they didn't connect. But I'll tell you, these kids love like no other love. They will give everything that's in their pocket just to stay. We've gone to them and said, we don't have any more food to feed you. And they're like, as long as I can stay, it doesn't matter. I don't care if I eat anything tonight. I just want to stay here tonight. So it has totally transformed their life. And it actually motivated the community to do what I have been wishing for 10 years. For 10 years, as I've been serving there, I wanted people in their community to realize they can make a change by themselves. It doesn't have to always come from my side. So this community that we're in, we bought a car, and the roads are really bad, and they're wondering, how are we going to get the car through these roads? Because the ditches are deep, and when it rains, the water sits in the road, and then it's all mud, and then you can't go anywhere. So this community, these kids and their parents, single mothers, grandmothers, whoever's raising them, now clear the roads with a hoe and flatten the roads and fill in the ditches so that this car can drive through their community. All on their own. Not motivation from me, all on their side. They went and did it all on their own. We don't give any money towards it. They just go out and dig. So when I was there in November, I was walking into the community at 6 a.m. in the morning. I went to our community garden that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And I started walking, and I got to the one house of one of our leaders, and the wife is like, no, you need to come with me. So she grabs the hose, and we walk down to the front of this mosque, and we start clearing the road. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. We're clearing the road of the grass and debris and leveling it off. And she's like, no, you need to record me on your phone. You need to record me. I'm like, what makes this so important? And she just wanted us to see that they'll do the work. We just need to give them the hope. So the hope is what is such key. And that hope comes from this. Shouting from the mountains. Shouting from the mountains what? Shouting from the mountains that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the key to all of this. So if we flip to the next slide, this is the transformation of our sponsorship kids. Everything that we talk about is what's the change if you do something? What's going to happen if you do this? So this little boy is there on the one side before. He lives in a mud house, no clothing. Everything he had was too small for him, and transformed by getting some used clothing for him, by getting him something new. And again, that is a life-changing atmosphere for them, and they totally transform. They go from not even caring about existing to wanting to be at school whenever they can. So that type of sponsorship is something that we do. We have about 150 kids right now that are sponsored. If we flip to the next slide, one of the little girls in the middle of there is a sponsored kid with us. This is what we saw at our house just before she got sponsored. We walked in and said, well, what's for dinner for tonight? And you can see the pot, and it has a few beans in the bottom. And they said, the only one that'll eat today is Purina. And the only reason she gets to eat is because she has sickle cell. And if she doesn't eat, she's not going to survive. And the little girl's eyes were so green because she was so sick. We got that little girl a sponsor, and now she thrives. She has grown so much. I go there, I look at her, I talk to her, and she's a totally different kid. All from providing this little bit of hope that life is better than what it is. So if we flip again to the next slide, I'm going to talk about seeds. So seeds are a bit crazy to me. So I brought these little pots. So when we leave today, there's a table up here. Any one of the pots, any one of the banners that are there, they're free for anyone that wants to take them. The banners in these pots were made by an entrepreneur class that's in Grove City. They had to create a business and then sell them and then donate money to a nonprofit. So that's where these type of things came from. So you're welcome to all this with it. Inside is our information and about a little kid that that's in Uganda. But seeds, I think God just really wants to point out something about them. They start so small, yet they can turn into so much more. So if we flip to the next slide, it even tells us in Genesis that God gives us every seed-bearing plant. Why did he need to do that? He could have just let the fruits fall from heaven. Yet he wants to use that seed, I think, to express how much different life can be if we take that seed that he places inside of us and we go out and use it. So if we go to the next slide, this is our seedlings that we're starting in this garden. They started them last fall, and we started some in our house. And our bean plants were like, whew, they just shot up. We were raising them inside the house, and they were just growing like wildfire. And I'm like, I'm picking on my team in Africa. I'm like, we're going to beat you. We're going to have a harvest before you. They planted their beans at least 2 weeks after we did. They harvested beans within 1 month. That's how fast they grew. And I'm like, what is God doing? So if we're looking at that slide that's there in the middle, that is collard greens and eggplant. They planted those as soon as those beans were done developing. They planted those collard greens and eggplants. And we're planting those for the reason that we would need a sauce for them to make for their staple meal. So we started growing those, and when I was there in January of last year, in 2025, I went to this garden, and I'm thinking, what's God going to do? And he kept saying, it's going to be bigger than you can believe. And I just had small faith. I'm like, God, this isn't enough, because we have 20 families that are eating off this small one-acre plot, not even an acre. It's just a strip of land that we're planting on it. And I'm thinking, how are these ladies going to survive their whole families with this small spot? What are you going to do, God? How are you going to do that? Because there's two growing seasons there. So if we flip again to the next slide, these ladies, when they first started growing, were talking about how much we put in. How much are we going to sow? How much are we going to put into this effort? Well, as soon as we planted those collard greens and eggplant, a drought came on. And they started bucketing water from the bottom where the swamp is, up this hill, and it's pretty steep, and the community started laughing at them. They started making fun of them. Same thing that happens here, right? We try and do something that sounds crazy, and then people start making fun of us. But yet, they knew that we had said, just keep working, and let's see what Jesus did. So they kept working. They kept pouring that water on that garden. And with all the effort that they're putting in, with everything they're giving, God says they're going to get more, right? As he says, the more that you sow into it, the more he's going to give back to us. So if we flip to the next page, the next slide, you can see the harvest that they have. The little green, those are eggplants. Those are African eggplants. That harvest is like that every single time they go to the garden. And anyone here a farmer? Anyone here a farmer? I thought I knew something about eggplants. I thought, you know, they have one season, right? We plant them, after the season, they're over. That's what we expected to happen. But those eggplants that we planted last year are still producing the same crop every day. We never planted in January this year. Those pictures are from this last week. They just harvested those. The collard greens are the same way. They're just producing and producing and producing and producing, and we can't figure out why. Because in Africa, that's not the way it works either. They have two growing seasons, they chop them down, and they start over again, but these guys never stop. Now, that's not a miracle that God's doing and showing them and giving them courage. I don't know what is. Because to me, I wonder how God does what he does sometimes. But yet he wants us to just know he's with us. He just wants us to know he's with us every day. So think, a little $5 seed pack could produce that much food for that many families all the time. It's just unbelievable to me. So if we flip again, you can see the happiness of those people. If you flip the slide to the next one, maybe we're stuck. Love technology, right? Just love technology. Okay, the ladies there, they're very happy. That's the joy. They walk around with those buckets on their head. But sometimes I'll bring videos because the joy that comes out of them when they go to the harvest is like no other. So that community that was laughing at them is now begging to come. But in order for them to come, we have to have more property because there's not enough for everyone. So we're working on that. We're going to see what God does. But miracle after miracle happened like that around us. And every time we seem surprised, yet God has bigger plans. Every day. One time you would think I would stop being so stubborn in my head and just realize God knows what he's doing and I'd stop worrying about it. So if we flip again to the next slide, there's a couple in here that donates miscellaneous to us. And this group that's standing in front of there came in January. They're all community children. Not one of them is sponsored. And they came to get books for school. But this year, we didn't have the $2,000 that we normally spend on books to send. So I said to my group leader, I'm like, I have a $500 donation that was given. That's all I have. And God said, no, you need to give $500 more. So I had $1,000 to give towards this buying of the books. $1,000 will buy books for about 200 kids. 200, maybe 250 if we really stretch it, for books and pens and pencils so these kids could go to school. And I thought, that's all we can do. Even though we normally shoot for 400. I'm like, God, I just don't feel you're telling me to do that. I'm going to take this donation like you told me to take, and I'm going to add 500 to it, and we're going to have $1,000. We're going to serve out 200 kids. So our group leader, who's standing in the middle there with the black and white shirt on, he left, took his son to school, and came back. And when he came back, there was 800 kids standing in front of the compound. 800. The group in front of you there is about 200, maybe 250 in that group. That doesn't account for any of the teenagers there, nothing else. So if we flip to the next slide, you can see the real group of kids that were there. 800 kids. But instead of panicking, he ran to Jesus. He gathered those dancers that you saw in the other thing. They were there in the compound. He gathered them and he said, let's go to the library. We're going to start praising Jesus. They started singing in that library, which is like an 8x8 room where our books are stored. They started singing. He went to the first dancer and said, you tell me, this age group of kids, how many books and how many pens and how many pencils are they supposed to get? They prayed. The kid told them a number. They started serving. Remember that first picture you saw? That's all we had the books for. Yet that was the first group. They served out everyone in the first group. Just the size books they were supposed to get, and they had enough for every kid in that first group. So he went to the next age group, and there's three age groups basically that are there. They started singing again. They started praising again. He asked the next dancer, well, how many books for this one? How many pens? How many pencils? They told him a number again. Again, he thought they were crazy because we didn't have enough books to do those numbers. But yet, they served out every single kid books, pens, and pencils with the number that sponsored that dancer had told them. They went to the last group, He said, this is impossible. How are we still having what we're having? They started singing and praising again. He did the same thing. How many books? How many pens? How many pencils? And these dancers, remember, they have little schooling. So they don't know how to calculate the number of kids that are standing in front and the number of books that are here because they didn't buy the books and they didn't do this. So again, he asked them. They told them a number. They handed out every single kid. 800 kids got books because one person. Because of one family here giving freely. One family giving $500 served 800 kids. Less than a dollar for every kid somehow got them books so they can go to school. Now, if we don't see Jesus there, how do we see Jesus at all? How do we see Jesus at all if we can't see that? So if we flip again, you can see some of those happy kids that are there. I wish I had time to show you all those pictures, but it is just incredibly crazy to me what God does sometimes. But if we flip to the next slide, there's a verse in Luke. I'm sure you've all read it before, right? He goes out. He has all these people standing in front of him. He spreads the seeds. He's telling this parable about spreading the seeds on the ground. Some fell where the birds ate it, right? So if we flip to the next slide, some fell where the ground was rocky, and they withered and they fell away. Some fell in the thorns, and they grew up and were choked out by the other plants. If we flip again, some fell on good soil. The person that gave here had to be good soil. They were trusting God. Trusting God to take that money and do whatever. Fell on that good soil. And what happened? They produced a better yield. And that's where typically you hear these verses end. And when I was starting this message, pastor had asked me to come and share, and God just said, you need to talk about seeds. And this was the first thing that came to my head, and I thought, I'm going to start this message with this verse. With this verse, I'm going to share about Jesus, about planting. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, whoever has ears, let him hear. If we flip to the next one, the disciples were like, why? What does this mean, God? What is the meaning of this verse? And what's the meaning? He's telling them, you know who I am. But basically, they don't. So if we flip one more, he says, the parable is the seed, is the word of God. The word of God that's alive. It's alive and living. Yet we take it for granted. We can set it down. We can walk away. And we can think, we can handle this on our own. Why would we want to handle it on our own when we have Jesus right here? Why would we want to go on our own when we can do this? You want to know our ministry is successful? Yeah, those cheerful givers, but this book is alive, and Jesus is alive. And here, we take so many things for granted. So many things for granted as Americans. We just are so blessed. So he goes on to explain this verse a little bit further. If you flip that to the next slide, he's trying to tell them, you know, what each one of those came across. Not sure what that is. Maybe some heat's kicking on. I mean, maybe we need to get a little warm, you know. As long as we're not headed down, I guess we're okay, right? We're going up. So he's trying to tell them a little bit more about that verse. So if you flip to the next one, I'm going to let you read through them here. But I want to get to the last one in verse 15. The seeds that are on good soil. Seeds that are on good soil. Do we want to be those ones in the rocks? Do we want to be choked out by Jesus? Do we want to be this one that's producing high yields of crops? So I thought about that as a ministry. Like, when we're teaching our kids, what are we doing? Are we trying to be this good crop? Will we try our best? When I was just there in November, if we flip one more slide, we had all those baskets. On Thanksgiving Day, I was standing there with empty baskets. And as I look at that picture, those are empty souls. Empty souls. So what do we do to those souls? If we flip again, we're going to fill up those souls with food, with energy, with oil, with things that they need. And then we took those dancers that are in that group, and we said, okay, here's the deal. You don't know what Thanksgiving is, but in America, we have Thanksgiving. Today, we're going to have Thanksgiving here. But this Thanksgiving is not for you. This Thanksgiving is for you to go share Jesus. So we took those buckets, 20-some buckets, they put them on their heads, and we started walking through the community, and we went from house to house and started handing buckets. We got to stand in front. But the deal was, when they handed the bucket, they had to teach who Jesus was. They had to explain why we were there. Because all of them like to say, Mr. Brian, he bought this for you. I said, no, this is not from me. This is from Jesus, and you're going to go and explain to them in your local language what Jesus just did. So these kids, two by two, stood in front of these ladies that they're handing food out, explaining Jesus. A proud dad stands there. Imagine, if I can be that proud that these dancers are doing that, what is Jesus doing today? What is the Father doing today as we go into our community and we tell people about Jesus? All of us are here. We're all seeds. We're all trying. Or we're not. It's our choice. Do we want our dad to be proud of us, or do we want to be shy? As I'll tell you, the first time I ever shared in front of a church, I thought, this is going to be impossible. When I was in high school, I dodged every reading element. I dodged everything I had to stay out of the spot's eye. But when God put this ministry on my heart, he said, you're going to go speak at churches. And I said, God, no, that's not going to happen. I can't do that. The first church service, I probably needed 3 shirts because I was mighty wet and tried everything to hide the opportunity. But now God just says, no, Brian, you just go. And half the time he changes during slides. I was going to read to you every piece of those verses, but God said, no, Brian, there's not enough time. I need you to share another testimony. So that's why I typically don't put all the verses in my sermons, because he changes on the fly. Yet for me, I want to be so prepared. But God has bigger plans than me. So if we flip again to the next slide. When I was there in November, if you look at my arm there, there's a white bandage on it. I was there by myself. My family was here in the States. And in 2018, I nearly died of malaria, which you catch there from the mosquitoes, right? So I was on preventative medicine this time, thought surely I'm fine, but the devil decided he wanted to take me out. I got malaria there. I was pretty bad. I wouldn't tell my family here because there was nothing they could do. I was taking treatment, but the devil didn't want me to be encouraged. He wanted me to be sad. So he kept fighting everything that I was doing to take care of myself. Yet I kept remembering God takes all things and works them out for good. So Saturday, when I'm sharing in this church, I'm standing outside. I'm going, God, I'm not serving. I'm tired. I'm weak. I can't do this. It's too much. He made me stand in front of that church, and as I was talking, he said, How much are you willing to give? You say these are your people. What are you willing to give? What if you are sick every time you come here? Will you still keep coming? And I said, I'll do it, God. I'll do it. Why? Because Jesus is willing to do it for me. So why shouldn't I be willing to do it for them? And I served with this in my arm, and I looked at the people and said, this is how much you're worth. I give my life to serve you. Because malaria can take you like that. Anyone that knows anything about it. And when I had it in 2018, I lost 4 days of my life. I don't remember anything at all. My wife suffered through all of it. My family suffered through it, but I don't remember any bit of it. She expected I would go to a nursing home when I came out of the hospital here. Yet I came out and started working the next day. That's what God does. If we're willing to go. If we're willing to serve. So someone in here right now, I feel, is wanting or knowing they're supposed to do something else. He's asking you that same question. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to lay it all down for me? Are you willing to give everything for me? And when we answer yes to that, the blessings that we get are so far beyond. When God told me to start this ministry, we didn't have any money to start this ministry. We were average people at the best. When we bought our house, we bought it with two incomes. My wife got pregnant. We went to one income. Somehow we survived through the whole situation. But now God's telling me to do a ministry and work even more hours and then travel back and forth to Africa. How am I going to do that, God? But I stood and said, here I am. Here I am. And when I get down, when I see something ahead of me that I'm starting to think about and I'm wondering about, I just stand there and say, here I am. Here I am. I'll do whatever you want, but you got to find a way. So I want to tell a story here that's a miracle. God told me I needed to change jobs because I work a full-time regular job. He said, you need to change jobs. And I'm like, God, that job that there is in Virginia. I need a car because my daughter uses my truck to haul her food trailer wherever. So I'm like, I need a truck. I need a vehicle. If you want me to do that, God, I need a vehicle. Another one in addition to what we have. And again, I thought it's impossible. Yet, my brother-in-law's vehicle broke down. He wouldn't trust it. He's telling me it's at this place. They need a new engine, all of this. He said, can you go pick it up and bring it to your house? We'll part it out. We'll do whatever we need to do. I just needed to leave the dealership where it is. I hadn't been in the vehicle. I hadn't seen anything with it. So I thought, you know what? Let me just go get it. I'll bring it home. I'll fight with it all the way here. Like, I've driven cars that don't act right. I'm like, I'll somehow get home. I get in the car, and it just drives perfectly all the way home. I'm like, what is going on, God? Like, what do you mean the engine is bad? So he's already in the process of buying a new car. He refuses to trade this one in. He's like, no, there's something wrong with it. I took that car to Virginia because he gave it to me for free. I took the other job. God's blessing on my life has gotten even bigger. All because I said, okay, here I am. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever, but you have to find a way. So someone here today, I feel God saying the same thing. I need you to do something, and you believe it to be too big. But I'm gonna pray. And if that's you, and we're praying, if you want to come forward for prayer, if you want to come forward to see the blessings of God grow in your life, if you have a sickness or whatever, you want me to pray over you. if you just want to come to the altar, come and give everything to Jesus. Come and give everything you have to Jesus, because you're the seed in this little pot, yet he plans to take you from this little pot to this pot. If you say, I'm willing, but are you willing? That's the question we all have to answer. Are you willing? So if we flip to the next slide, what is God telling you to do today? Not tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow. Today, God is here. Where one or more are gathered, two or more are gathered. In his name, he is there. He's here today. He's here for you. But the most important part first is you got to have Jesus. You got to have Jesus where? In your heart. So if you don't know Jesus, we're going to pray for that first. If you don't know Jesus and you need to have him in your heart, then you come with him in your heart. But as we're praying for that, remember, it's not only words. You got to give that heart freely. You want the blessings of God, you got to give that heart freely. You're not going to be perfect today. If it is, that's a miracle. I can tell you, I started in a very bad place in my life. When I gave my life, I started to see things change. Why did I see things change? Because I was willing to give it all. The day after, I was planning to take my life. I was planning to drive off a cliff, but I went to God and said, here I am. Show me you're real. Show me you're real. And he took all those bricks and lifted them off of me. So I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. From your heart, not from your words, but from your heart. If you want to come forward, come forward. But you can just raise up your hand to tell me that yeah, you need me to pray for you for Jesus. So with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, just raise up your hand right now if you need me to pray for Jesus for you. If you want to take Jesus into your life and give him your heart fully. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for the courage to say, it's me, God, I'm ready. Thank you for that hand. If you need to come back to Jesus, you knew him, but you've fallen away, raise your hand up also. Raise your hand up also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the courage of these people that raised their hand today. I thank you for the desire to give everything, to give their heart, to give their souls to you, Jesus. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I give you it all. I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of that sin. I ask that you remove it as far as you can from me. I pray that you give me courage to go out and serve. I pray that you move inside of me so I can feel the love of Jesus moving today. And I commit my life to you as the Savior, as the way, the truth, and the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so I'm going to do something that probably pastors are told not to do. But I'm going to do it anyways because I'm not the pastor, right? So I can do that, all right? If you had that much courage to raise your hand today, and there's a few, that raised their hand today. I pray you give that much courage to come to the front. Not for me, not for this congregation, but for Jesus. To show him you'll stand for him today and forevermore. And if you're willing to stand for him today and forevermore, you're going to see God change your life. And when he changes your life, you're never going to be the same again. So let's pray for these people that are forward now. Let's pray for the person that's in here that has a sickness that they need healed. Come forward. Come forward and use this altar to show Jesus you've given it all. Come forward and show him you're willing to serve. You're willing to give everything, everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the courage that's in this house, for the blessings that these people that are willing to come to the altar for you, Lord, that are willing to serve you, Lord, that are willing to give it all. Lord, I just pray for sickness to match, just melt away. No more sickness, Lord. No more pain. No more suffering, Lord. Just move through this house right now. Heal the people that are around us. Heal the people that desire to show love to others. Move across this place right now. Just blessings on top of these people's lives. Just move today. If you need a touch from Jesus, raise up your hand right now. If you need a touch from Jesus, just raise your hand. Just move through these people right now, Lord. Just move over them, power them, give them strength, give them honor. Show them, Lord, that you're there. Fill their hearts like they've never had filled before. Just total healing over these bodies, Lord. Just total healings over these bodies, Lord. Just total healings. The altar is open. If you still need to go forward, just go forward. Move. Jesus, just keep moving right now. Just keep moving right now, Jesus. Heal these people from the inside out. Move across this place, Lord. Your people are here. Your people are here, Lord. They're ready for you. They want you more. Fill them so much, Jesus. Fill them so much. Fill them overflowing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just ask for blessings over all of them, Lord. Over this church, over their willingness to serve in missions, Lord. Help them to give. Help them to show the love of God to other people around them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.